Well, we've been talking lately, not just about politics, but about women in politics. And one discussion that we had a few days ago got a lot of response from our listeners. Clearly, women play a big role in any election. I mean, they're half of the electorate, right? But we haven't entirely settled this argument over how they should or should not behave as candidates, or whether we even have the right to criticize their behavior. Karl Rove was called cutthroat. Rahm Emanuel was sometimes known as Rambo. Our former vice president, sometimes referred to as Darth Cheney. So why is it not okay to call a female candidate mean?
What we're getting is a different wrapper for female power, moving away from the lesbian epithet to the homecoming queen.
That is one of the many, many comments we got after we had a discussion with Gail Sheehy about GOP mean girls, as she and Maureen
referring to Meg Whitman, Carly Fiorina,
and Linda McMahon. Right. And you can clearly weigh in on this by calling 8778-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. But we want to move forward this conversation. We have Rebecca Traister with us. She's a senior writer at Salon and author of a book about the 2008 election. It's called Big Girls Don't Cry, the election that changed everything for American women. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
Well, the fact that we're having this conversation and that there's such strong feelings on all sides of the argument tells me that we haven't actually reached a pH balance in women and candidacy, right? I mean, it's...
Well, of course we haven't. Women are 17% of Congress, and we're likely that number's probably about to go down. We've never had a woman president or vice president. So the very notion that we've achieved any kind of balance in politics is, you know, something we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel good, but it actually reflects reality.
All right. Well, I want to take you through a few comments that our listeners made and get your response to them. First, we have Cheryl from Boston, and she was very upset over the mean girl label.
Nobody talks about John Edwards or Mike Bloomberg in this way when they decide to run. Why as women are we tearing other women down?
What do you think about that? Calling them GOP mean girls, is that tearing down the female candidates?
Well, I don't think it's a question of we can't criticize them or point out that in many instances they're mean. I think that the actual mean girls epithet troubles people. And by the way, I should say, I think it's one of the things when we have more women in politics, we do want to come up with language. I don't want to be a style police and say we can't use the word girl. I use girl in the title of my book. We need to find ways to acknowledge femininity and femaleness at the same time that we're in politics. So we're using labels, we're using epithets, so I don't want to be the style police on this. However, that particular phrase, mean girls, not only feminizes these women, which is fair enough, they're women, it also reduces them to a high school stereotype. Like a sort of Lindsayism. That's not true of Darth Cheney. It's not true of Rambo, all of which take the sort of the notion of political aggression, professional aggression, and make it sort of admiring. This infantilizes it.
Right. Well, we're talking with Rebecca Traister, who's a senior writer for Salon.com, which I actually view as kind of the style police on everything. But it's interesting that you say that. Can you listen to this comment that we got from a listener, Rebecca? And I have a question about it. Listen.
They're gender traitors. They would sell out their own sex for power. Yeah, they're mean girls. They're gender traitors.
Now, this idea, Rebecca, raises the question that there's a temptation to think of women as voting in a block in some way, and it's absolutely absurd, unlike some other sort of groups that do vote more as a block for one party or another. Women really don't fit that category.
They don't. I mean, you're talking about, you know, women actually tend to vote more than men. You're talking about such a huge proportion of the electorate. Women come in all, you know, sizes, shapes, colors, ages, ideologies, and that's one of the things we're learning. Because there have, in previous election cycles, been this kind of like, oh, well, we're going to pursue the women's vote. Well, the women's vote is not some one giant estrogen-motivated block. And, so this is part of what, and I'd like to go back to something Celeste said at the beginning, which is the fact that we're having this conversation demonstrates the pH balance isn't there. But in fact, the fact that we're having this conversation helps to educate us a little bit and remind us of these facts. The fact that we're having a conversation about what kind of language to use with regard to female candidates, this is actually a good thing. It's a hard thing, but it's a positive thing. It's the way that we move through these assumptions and old, incorrect assumptions about a female voting block, for instance.
Since you mentioned education and positive in the same sentence, Rebecca, you heard earlier one listener said we've moved on to the homecoming queen ideal in politics. And here's a comment from Kelly in Myrtle Beach.
They're really an embarrassment to young women everywhere.
who might be interested in getting involved in politics someday, but all they see are these parents just regurgitating what they hear from the boys in politics and just being loud and obnoxious about it.
And obviously this comes off a number of headlines about, you know, mistakes about the Constitution or not naming a sitting Democratic senator about Christine O'Donnell or other mistakes.
Or that Meg Whitman is being too sort of tough and belligerent.
Exactly. Or Linda McMahon kneeing people in the groin.
Well, see, I think that that kind of criticism, it's important to have the conversation, but I don't think that that criticism is fair at all. Yes, you can point out that these people are being mean, but it is not true that they are being more mean than male candidates. And one of the things we really have to dispense with is an attitude, and this attitude was born of the fact that women were not as involved in politics, and so we could fantasize that if they were, they would uphold some higher bar for civility and politesse. That they would be extra classy or something. And of course, when we actually get more women in politics, part of the lesson that we learn is that, of course, they're no more polite and lovely and they play no more nicely than their male counterparts. So, and I actually strongly disagree with the idea that the candidates, even the ones whose presentation we deplore, are parroting the boys. In part, they're playing politics. And so I guess in that regard, because politics has belonged to boys historically, I guess you can say they're parroting the boys. But part of what we're learning is that female candidates are no different from male candidates.
Yeah.
And that's a crucial thing to begin to get used to if we're actually going to aim for gender equity, gender equality in politics, which we're still a very long way off from.
One last question for you, Rebecca Traister. Before we go, we're hearing about a lot of GOP women, but there's actually twice as many women running as Democrats. How come we're not hearing about them?
Well, that's always been true. Democrats have always put up more women for office. I have criticisms. I'm a Democrat. I have criticisms of my own party in this cycle that they're not answering the GOP claims that this is the year of the woman with the actual sort of power of the truth behind them and saying, actually, no, we're the party of women. We are the ones who passed Lilly Ledbetter legislation. We're the people who have more women in Congress, and therefore Democratic losses may mean a loss of women in Congress. But we're not really hearing that from the Democratic Party. That's a party politics situation.
Rebecca Traister, senior writer for Salon.com, author of Big Girls Don't Cry. And in fact, she is correct. We may end up very likely with fewer women in Congress than last term.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.